This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Flash storage startup makes play for HPC.
And Intel and AMD release strong earnings.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for July 23rd, 2010. Available every Friday on iTunes and now on Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. How's it going?
It's going well. Another summer week has passed. It's a little bit slow, but we caught some interesting news this week.
Well, we did. Well, we devoted last week's issue to the cloud, but in the meantime, we did go through earnings season. Now, for a lot of companies in HPC, their earnings go well beyond the HPC market. So, you know, you get companies like IBM put out good earnings, but it's hard to break down to the HPC level. But in the meantime, there were two that were interesting that came out around the same time as each other, with Intel and AMD both showing strong earnings and maybe with some indicators that were pertinent to the HPC market.
Yeah, those two chip makers, which obviously own a lot of the server market, released better earnings than all the expectations were. AMD released quarterly earnings, and they showed $1.6 billion in revenue. They actually got a loss of $43 million because of some chargebacks to their spin-out of GlobalFoundries, but they did very well. If they hadn't had that loss related to the foundry, they would have posted a share. But yeah, I mean, their production's going up, their revenue's going up, and they produce very good. And Intel did fantastically. They had the best quarter ever, $2.9 million in profit, $10.8 billion in revenue, and their server, well, both PC and server markets were doing well, but their server chips jumped 50% or nearly 50% in this latest period. So they're going gangbusters. And yeah, it's I think we're seeing some pretty remarkable growth from that. And I think it bodes well for what's going on in server market and HPC right. In particular.
So, I mean, here's yet another case where AMD comes out with good news and Intel comes out with better news. This is a pattern we've been in for a couple of months now.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, Intel actually came out with their earnings first, and AMD sort of wrapped it up. But I think AMD's a happy camper right now. They're looking at a nice future. Both chip makers are looking at, or they're really bullish on the growth prospects. I mean, there's high performance computing, cloud computing, the SMB markets, and the server space. All the analysts are saying there's going to be pretty good growth on the horizon, and there's only a little bit of pessimism about the economy in Europe and some certain uncertainty in worldwide. But right now, IT looks really good.
The Intel news in particular, they were pointing to some of the indicators in the server market and saying that they're seeing real strength there in terms of how quickly people in the server market are transitioning over to the new chips, right?
Right. They saw what was probably pent-up demand. People were sort of sitting, waiting for the Nehalems to come out, and now the Westmuirs are out. So some of them were probably just sitting, waiting for those chips to appear. Plus, you know, we just went through a very severe recession, so people were all sitting on budgets that got slashed. So now we're sort of seeing the result of that. People are catching up, and the chip makers are profiting right now.
Well, and now this, of course, is a data center argument that goes beyond HPC, as I said at the top of the podcast, but this is something that we were expecting in HPC as part of our new forecast that we published, that we would start to see that acceleration by the end of this year as the sales cycles came back in and you release some of these pent-up demand. And with the chip makers, who are good indicators of the overall demand returning in the market, I think we can see this as a good indicator of a return to growth, even though people at Intel have pointed out to me in the past that, as far as their earnings go, they often have to supply early in the chain, and then they get paid late in the chain. So, it takes a while for the turnaround to show up in their earnings. We were seeing strong earnings from some of the other technology players as early as the fourth quarter of last year, and now it's finally coming back around to the chip vendors.
Right, and I think, they see this as something that's going to build, too. So they're seeing this as sort of the beginning of a very good set of quarters. Now, like I said, there's little concern on the horizon. I mean, in our space, the stimulus is going to peter out. So some of the wins we saw with the big government deals will probably start to go away. I noticed this week there seemed to be a lot of university news talking about getting money. There was University of Buffalo. There was a Dutch university in the news. I think I see some of the universities sort of buying up again, and I'm not sure what that's related to, if the endowments are coming back or if they're just seeing money from other sources. But it does seem like even the academic sector is powering back up with some wins.
Yeah, I think HPC overall is doing well and is on track to hit the predictions that we've made for the year. With regards to Intel relative to AMD, we also have our latest site census data in. We've been cleaning up that data and starting to write the reports. And Intel's share of processors and systems in the HPC site census also continues to increase against AMD. You know, Intel had fallen behind a while ago, right. You know, like 5 years ago, but since then has regained its dominant position and continues to increase it. So when I was talking about that, you know, AMD, you know, struggling to come back against Intel, they keep getting trumped by good news. AMD might be in a scenario where they're still waiting for Intel to make another misstep so they can truly make that move.
Yeah, and I'm also thinking AMD is probably pretty bullish on their latest set of server chip offerings, Magna cores, which probably isn't showing up in your site data yet, but they're looking to turn around some of that momentum away from Intel back to them with that set of products. So it'll be interesting to see in the next maybe next 6 months, 12 months, if that data starts to shift back to AMD a little bit.
Yeah, we haven't really seen a lot of people yet who are saying they're really going to switch over to AMD. Now, one thing we've continually said is that buyers are fickle, in particular with regards to their processor vendor. They'll flip if they see better price performance somewhere else. So, you know, that's the good news if you're AMD, is you just have to catch up and get a little bit ahead, and you can start swinging it back the other way.
And the other thing that Intel, I think, is sort of encouraged about, they're seeing their storage wins, storage design wins in these appliances from, you know, places like NetApp and Hitachi Data Systems, EMC, start to accumulate. So they're looking at an increase from 20% wins to 70% design wins in the sockets in those systems. And, you know, that's a lot of chips by itself too. So the storage is obviously increasing in HPC and elsewhere. So that'll help Intel as well.
Well, it's an excellent point, Michael, and I think one of the most important things when you look at the competitive dynamic between Intel and AMD is, in my estimation, Intel has done more in terms of differentiating itself beyond the chip itself with these storage systems, with the software stack in particular, compilers, the tools. There's a little more of a complete package there around Intel than we see with AMD.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, they're a much larger company, and right, when I talk to the storage vendors and ask them what's inside their box, it's almost always, in fact, I can't remember the last time somebody said there's an AMD chip driving this. It's almost always Intel, an Intel Xeon inside these storage boxes. So yeah, AMD has that nice dominant position, and they're able to exploit it in all these different ways because of basically economies of scale here.
Well, speaking of chips in storage, Michael, you've got another story that's chips in storage, but an entirely different, newer, smaller company.
Right. I talked to Nimbus Data Systems, who this week unveiled this new high-density enterprise flash memory system, the S1000. Now, they actually, inside that box, is also a Nehalem chip, but the big thing here is they're using flash memory for the storage, and it's completely flash, and it's a 10-terabyte appliance, and you can aggregate these boxes so you can scale up to 250 terabytes for a system. But the big story here is basically they've got the system down to the price of a hard disk system. So you're talking about a Tier 1 enterprise disk appliance, which runs, you know, $10,000 per terabyte, and that's what this costs, about $10,000 per terabyte. And the way they've been able to do that is they're using this slightly different version of flash technology called enterprise multi-level cell, which is much cheaper than the single-level cell technology used in most enterprise flash. And they've been working on this for a while. They're basically a startup. They're 4 years old, but they've done fairly well for themselves. They introduced this product line just a few months ago, and this latest one they introduced this week is their 10-terabyte version. And so that kind of puts them into the HPC realm, and they're starting to target those customers right now.
Now, clear something up for me before we get too far into this Nimbus data system. This is not the same Nimbus as the other Nimbus that our old friend Bob Graybill is at.
Right. This is a different. This is pure flash storage. It's not Nimbus services, right? It's just a popular name, unfortunately.
Very different. This is NIMBUS, and Bob Graybill is at NIMBIS services. So two different Nimbuses, but we've got them straight.
Yeah. And these guys are a little older than Bob's startup. But, yeah, these guys have been around. And I didn't really know about them until very recently. And I got a chance to talk to the CEO about what they're doing. So, yeah, these guys are very high on flash. And they've been working on this technology. And they have a whole software stack they've put in the appliance, which is very full-featured. And so that's sort of their differentiator. In fact, that's what they think is their big differentiator. I mean, anybody can buy these flash chips from Micron, which is where they're buying them from, put together, you know, some sort of blade technology or whatever, and build these flash blades. But they've been working on the software for 4 to 5 years, and that's kind of hard to catch up on. So they've got a pretty full-featured solution right now, and they don't think anybody's going to be able to meet them anytime soon.
Well, it's been clear that there's an opportunity for flash in HPC for two reasons. One is there are a lot of applications that are IOPS sensitive more than they're capacity sensitive. And if you're looking for IOPS, flash can win the dollars per IOPS game. And the second reason is that in theory, at least, at scale, the flash would have fewer moving parts, and without the spinning platters, you could get better reliability with flash than with spinning disks. Although I haven't seen too many benchmarks on that, and I don't know to what extent that's been proven. It is a nice theory. Now, what's interesting with Nimbus here is they're going to say that they've equated the cost per byte and let you just go for the IOPS without worrying that you're paying more per byte, right?
Exactly right. They've equalized the CapEx and basically said the OpEx is the gravy. So it's much lower in power than a hard disk system, since there's no motors. And of course, you get this flash performance. You get, you know, much better latency, much better bandwidth, and much better density. I mean, there's all these advantages of flash that are sort of built in, but now they've got it down to the price of a disk. So that's the good thing.
Yeah, we'd still have to see where it comes in terms of some of the other features, what kind of file system you put on it, what kind of redundancy features it, you know, what kind of RAID scenario you have. You know, there's a lot more to the data management story than the IOPS, but I think they will clearly find an opportunity.
Yeah, they still have to execute their new company. So this is, you know, they just, like I said, they just introduced this line back in April, and then this latest offering this week. So they still have to execute. And I know there's some trials, a proof of concept at one supercomputing center that the CEO told me about, and a couple of some oil and gas companies. But they expect some wins here. And we'll see how they play out. But they seem like they've got a very good start. And you're talking about the RAID technology. I think they do have a RAID capability within their software stack. And they also have compression. I said the max size of this thing is 250 terabytes, but they've got compression and dedupe technology, deduplication, that can drive it up to an effective petabyte range. So with all that kind of compression, they can get into the petabyte realm as well with just one system.
You sound like a fan, Michael.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I'm going to follow these guys, obviously, and see what happens, see if they get some wins. The thing is that flash technology seems to be moving so quickly now. You hear about people saying, well, I've got this great new thing. I've got, you know, I'm using this slightly different flavor of flash, or I'm going to use, you know, this denser flash next year. I mean, even the CEO was telling me next year the flash is going to be twice as dense, and it's, you know, we're going to, whatever, it's going to be 20 terabyte appliances. So it's almost hard for users to sort of jump in. It's almost moving faster than anything else right now. But that's the whole idea.
It's moving really fast, but it doesn't seem to have a really dominant provider yet, which is what's really opening the door for companies like Nimbus here. I mean, the storage provider that seemed to have the most momentum with flash was Sun, and, you know, we've right. chronicled Sun Oracle ad infinitum, or maybe ad nauseum is more appropriate in this case. And then, you know, you had companies like Spansion that went through all the trouble they went through. So, you know, there's not a dominant leader leader in the flash space. Now, I suppose STEC is doing pretty well in a behind-the-scenes kind of way.
Right.
There's all this momentum around flash, but I think when you say flash, there's not a big company that's jumping into people's minds right away.
Right, and I think that's because most of the storage leaders were based on disk technology, and they're hard-pressed to sort of give up that sort of momentum they have and that profit margin. When you go to flash, it's not clear cut for some of these companies whether they want to do this, because it'll cut into their business model somewhat. Now all the companies are doing it, NetApp and EMC have flash tiers in some of their storage systems, but it's sort of a hard play for them just to say, okay, we're going to give up this. I mean, that's not really feasible right now anyway, but even to go more aggressively that way is hard for these legacy companies. So it's these startups that are really the exciting vendors right now, because they don't have any legacy customers or technology or business models to deal with. So, yeah, we will be following these guys, obviously, and we'll see if they come up with some customer wins. I expect them to do that, and maybe some of the big centers will buy a system.
Well, it's certainly something we're going to be tracking as well. I'm looking forward to sorting through our site census data also and see how many people are running flash there. I don't have that data right in front of me, but maybe I'll come back around once I have the stat for you.
Yeah, those would be good numbers to start looking at, because I think I see more and more of these systems sort of squeezing into HPC. So, yeah, that would be a good thing to start tracking. I'd be interested in that data.
We'll sell you a subscription.
Sounds good. All right, Addison. Well, it was good talking to you this week. I think we've got news coming up next week as well. It could be interesting. So until then.
All right. We'll talk to you again next week, Michael. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.